اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حمد مجيد. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم افتح علينا بحكمتك وانشر علينا برحمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الكرام. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله على نعمة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى نعمة الإيمان ونعمة الإسلام وكفى بها النعمة. الحمد لله الله سبحانه وتعالى فإن القرآن ما أرسلنا من رسول إلا ليطاع بإذن الله. We have not sent any messenger except that he is obeyed by the permission of God or by the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the purpose of the messengers is that they are obeyed. But because of the nature of the human condition, human beings always fall short of being in a state of obedience. And the idea of obeying is that we recognize authority. Human beings in the presence of authority tend to be very well behaved. For instance, when people speed in cars, when they see police, they often slow down. And we basically view it as hypocritical for a person to do something that he knows is wrong, but when he's in the presence of one that can redress that wrong, he stops doing it. We call that a hypocrite. It's very interesting what authorizes somebody, gives somebody authority over other people. We have governments instituted because human beings recognize that we need to live in society. And if we did not have governments, we would tend to treat each other poorly because many human beings are aggressive by nature. Many human beings, when they want something, they will do what they perceive they need to do to achieve that thing. And so human beings have instituted governments. But one of the things that we don't think about very often is that government is actually a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an says, وَلَوْلَا دَفَعَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتَ الْأَرْضِ. Had Allah not used some of you to constrain others, there would be corruption everywhere. Fakhr al-Din al-Razi رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, the famous professor, said in his commentary on that, and the early commentators tended to interpret it as, had it not been Muslims stopping non-Muslim, then the world would be corrupt. But Fakhruddin al-Razi was a very deep and insightful human being, and he took it to another level in his famous tafsir, Mufatih al-Ghayb, in which he said that this is, one of the meanings of this verse is the blessing of government, irrespective of who is in charge. Now, one of the examples of this is in Iraq. There were many images of Iraqis angry at the Americans because they had not established order. Once they came, they took out the government, and suddenly there was anarchy, and people's houses were being looted. The rich people, the poor people don't get looted. They usually do the looting. And largely, they feel like they're getting back at the rich people who've been looting them under the semblance of order for a long, long time. And that's what you have in unjust societies. You have rich people loot the poor people, and then the order is there to make sure that the poor people don't get what they have lost. But this is what the people want. They wanted order, just establish order.
We don't want anarchy because anarchy is a tragedy. And so we don't reflect on the blessing of social order and the loss of social order and what that means. Now, one of the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given is prophets. And they are sent to be obeyed because their obedience is in fact the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not God. But obeying them is the same as obeying God because Allah has given them authority in His name. And this is why law is at the essence of human interaction with other humans and at the essence of the Islamic understanding of our relationship with our Lord. Our Lord has given us prayer, not like some traditions where you can pray anytime. We have specific times we have to pray. They've been legislated. They're actually in books of legal, sacred law. So we're told to pray at Fajr. You can't pray at 10 o'clock because you like to sleep late. You have to actually make an effort. Now why do you obey that law? Because you believe that it's from God and God has ultimate authority. And the more you become aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same way that when a policeman is in your presence, you tend to follow the law. You follow, and there's different levels of that. Some people, the only things that they do is they might speed, they might run a stoplight when nobody's around. They might do insignificant things. But there are other times when they see something that's not their property and they want it and they take it. Why? Because there is no internal mechanism to stop them. This is what we call bamir. Bamir is your conscience. And the bamir is something that is developed. You see, it's developed. And it's developed largely when we're young. We are told things by our parents. And we recognize right and wrong. We enter into this tamyiz. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sent them to be obeyed. Bi-idhnillah, by the authority of Allah. So we do not obey them by their own authority. We obey them by what they represent. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-sultan dhillallah fil-arb. The political authority is the shade of God on earth. Now what do you do in shade? You seek protection. From what? From the heat of the sun. So that you don't die. Shade is a blessing. And so political order is a blessing. Also the order of your house. The sultan of the parents over the children. If the children rebelled against the parents, then what order do you have in the house? If the children just did what they wanted, if they refused to go to school and to learn, how do we teach the next generation the necessary knowledges that are needed to continue human society? Because this is knowledge that has been acquired over centuries. And it's transmitted from one generation to a next generation. And the understanding that when you go to a school and that teacher has something that you don't have, you recognize his authority. His authority. When your parents tell you something, you recognize their authority. Why? Because they, one, know things that you don't know. They know things that you don't know. They've been on earth longer than you have. And they're not always right. The nature of human authority is that it's fallible. But the nature of divine authority is it's infallible. But, even with divine authority, how do we understand it? Then we have problems because this is where the human understanding comes into revelation and this is what we call ijtihad. And human beings can make mistakes in their ijtihad. And human beings can do absurd things in the name of religion. In the same way that laws can be passed even in a secular society that are absolutely ridiculous. that systems can come into existence and people wonder why they're there, and it sometimes takes a great deal of time to get rid of them. So when the messengers come, they come with this authority. And those who submit to that authority submit for two reasons. One, because they genuinely believe it. Or two, because it's simply what they were told. They inherited it. They don't know why or the real reasons behind it, other than that this was what I was told. That type of person will not be adhering to the authority in the same way that the one who actually believes it. هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Are they the same, those who know and those who don't know? Can you equate them? The answer is obviously no, you can't equate them. Istifham inkar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He asked that question, the answer was already understood. It's a rhetorical question. It's not a question in which Allah is waiting for you to respond. It's a question in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing you the absurdity of any other answer but the obvious answer. They can't be the same, those who know and those who don't know. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. I was only sent to teach. إِنَّمَا in the Arabic language is a particle that's used to negate everything else. In other words, my only purpose amongst you is to teach you. And in another hadith he said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I was only sent to perfect noble character. It doesn't negate the first, because noble character is what he's teaching. مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ is what the Prophet is teaching. How do we become human beings? We are not animals. The word in Arabic for human being is حَيَوَانٌ نَاطِقٌ, the rational animal. There's no other hayawan on the earth that shares that quality, that we are thinking creatures. We are homo sapiens. That's our, even in the West, the classification, in biological classifications, the classification that we as a species are put under is the sapiential animal, the knowing creature, the one who knows. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran there are two types of knowledge. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They know about the outward of the world, but they don't know about the other world, the akhirah. This is the ula. This is the first world. There's a last world. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that there's two types of knowledges. Knowledges of this world and knowledge of the other world. And you can be completely ignorant of one or the other, and sometimes of both. So the jahil is somebody who does not have knowledge, but the jahil also is somebody who does not act according to his knowledge. That's also jahil. The jahil is also somebody who thinks he knows something but understands it incorrectly. That's another jahil. So jahil, ignorance in Islam, is not just one type of ignorance. There are different types of ignorance. You could know how to build a bridge or fly an airplane, but you might not know how to go to the bathroom, how to clean yourself from impurities. You might know that pi relates to a circle, but you might not know that you were created to worship. So you can understand something about irrational numbers and not understand something about that which is beyond number, the infinite. One in Arabic is not a number. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a number. One is not a number in Arabic. Numbers begin with two. in the Arabic language. So if we look at our situation now as Muslims, we are people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. We have only sent messengers except to be obeyed. So how do we relate that then, if they were only sent to be obeyed, how do we relate the state of disobedience to our Lord and how we rectify that with our Lord? The verse goes on, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. And had it not been that if they transgressed and oppressed themselves, جَاءُكَ, they came to you, the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهُ, and they asked forgiveness of Allah, وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمَ الرَّسُولُ, and the Prophet asked forgiveness for them, لَوَجَدَ اللَّهَ تَوَّابَ رَحِيمًا, they would have found Allah oft turning to them, full of mercy. So our inability to obey authority is part of the human condition. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that in order to redress this flaw that has not only been purposefully put into you, because the Prophet ﷺ said, had you not disobeyed, I would have feared something worse than disobedience, which is what? Vanity, ujub, that you start thinking yourselves to be wonderful. And whose crime is that? It's the crime of Iblis. It's why he was not made the Khilafah in the earth according to our tradition. Iblis worshipped Allah. There's a tradition that said that there was no place on earth he didn't make sajda. But every sajda he did increased him in his sense of superiority. Instead of engendering humility in his soul, it actually resulted in pride. And so when he was asked to bow down to Adam alayhi salam, he said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنُهُ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدْ, what has stopped you from prostrating to Adam? Because Allah said to prostrate, He commanded them to prostrate. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ, all of them prostrated except Iblis. أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ, he had arrogance, he refused out of arrogance. So Allah asked him, not as if Allah needed to know, but in order to reveal something to Iblis for himself. He didn't say, أَنَا مَا سَجِدْتُ لَهُ لِأَنَّنِي مُتَكَبِّرُ, I didn't pray because I'm arrogant, I'm filled with myself. He didn't say that. What did he say? What has caused you not to bow down to Adam? He said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ, I'm better than him. I'm created from fire and air, he's created from water and earth. And my elements, fire and air, are gaseous. In other words, they move up by their nature. Fire and air move up. Earth and water move down. So he looked at it in the eye of the outward, in the material world. He said, mine are more subtle. They're ethereal. They're not low elements, they're high elements. And he believed that that made him superior. And this, in a sense, is the first act of racism. Because if you ask somebody, why are you better than an Iraqi or a Pakistani? Because I'm white. Because I'm Anglo-Saxon. Because I'm this or that. Well, why are you better than him? Because I'm a Punjabi and he's a Balushi. Why are you better than him? Because I'm a Qureshi and he's a Tamimi. Why are you better than him? I'm an Igbo and he's a Yoruba. Why are you better than him? I'm an American and he's some other nationality. These are sicknesses in the heart. And this is the disease of Iblis. is to see yourself as better than others. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, أُمِرْتُ أَنَا تَوَاضَعَ حَتَّى لَا يَكْبَرَ أَحَدٌ عَلَى أَحَدٍ. I was commanded to humble myself until no one showed arrogance over any other person. Because if anyone had a right to feel superior to anyone else, it would be me, because of اصطفاني الله. I was chosen by God. If anyone had a right to have a sense of superiority, it would have been me, but I refuse that. وَلِذَا أَنَا سَيْدُ آدَمْ وَلْدِ آدَمْ وَلَا فَخَرْ. I am the master of the children of Adam, and I have no pride in declaring that to you. Not only because he was showing his humility and giving us a law, he was giving us a legal ruling that we need to know as Muslims. This is a legal ruling. Who is the greatest of creation is a legal ruling to understand a hierarchy. But he was also letting us know, and this is what's called mafhum al-mukhalafa. Where then is your pride? It's not in his mastery over the children of Adam, it's in his ubudiyyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's in that he is the real life servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tahaqqaqa fihi. Sifat al-ubudiyyah, they were realized in him, these attributes of servanthood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi, maqar bi rasulihi. Glory be to the one who has taken his abd on this night journey. Glory be to the one who has taken his abd on the... Why did Allah give him that name? Why didn't he say, Subhanalladhi asra bi rasulihi? Because this was not in his relationship between creation. It was in his relationship between the Creator and himself. His relationship between himself and Allah is a relationship of ubudiyyah. His relationship between the creation of Allah is his relationship as a messenger. And so he is a Rasulullah, as an intermediary between Allah and creation. But he is Abdullah as an intermediary between Allah and his creation. In other words, he's calling creation to Allah, but he's also calling Allah to creation. He's calling creation to Allah, but he's also calling Allah to creation. Allahumma arhamhum, Allahumma aghfirhum, Allahumma ahdi qawmi fa'innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, forgive my people, they don't know what they're doing. And on Yawm Qiyamah he says, Sallam, Allahumma sallam, Allahumma sallam. He's calling Allah to his creation. So his function is as abd and as rasul. This is his authority that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. And he says to him, shafi', to shafi', intercede, and it will be granted to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have forgiven his creation without intercession. But he's teaching us something about the nature of the world. There's nothing that does not exist without causation. There's nothing that does not exist without intermediaries. You cannot exist without a hydrogen bond holding all of your DNA together. You can't exist without structure in your body. You can't breathe without the means of lungs and oxygen and nitrogen and gaseous exchanges. Your heart can't beat. Blood cannot circulate. Everything is by intermediaries. Everything has wasa'il. Everything has asbab. That is the nature of creation, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of wasa'il wal-alat wal-asbab. Allah is free of that. نَمَا يَقُولِ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. If Allah wants a thing, there's no intermediary. كُنْ وَأَمْرُهُ بَيْنَ كَافٍ وَنُونَ. And this is Kalam Allah Qadeem. It's the uncreated word of God. It's not even with the letters. It's the uncreated word of God. It's the irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the kalam of Allah, and the knowledge of Allah, that all exist as one reality with Allah. We speak of them as separate things, but in reality they are one thing. So this messenger that was sent to be obeyed, that the more you become aware of him, the more you become aware of your obligation to obey him. The more distant you are from him, the less present he is in your life, the less credence you give to his creed. If you never saw any police, you'd start driving in a certain way, you'd stop obeying the laws, you wouldn't have that sense of authority present. If you lose a sense of divine authority in your life, you also begin to lose a sense of your need to obey that authority. And that is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is central to our teaching. You cannot exalt the Creator without exalting His message. And you cannot exalt His message without exalting His Messenger. لِتُوَقِّرُوا لِتُكَبِّرُوا وَتُوَقِّرُوا. He was sent that you exalt Him, that you honor Him. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are on a vast creation. You are on a vast ethos. وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. Those who exalt, ta'zeem. Allah uses that word in the Quran. He's not talking about Allah. He's talking about those things that symbolize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's religion, that symbolize what He has sent and given us. وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Those who exalt the symbols of God, they are doing it because of something in their heart. And when you magnify the Creator of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are magnifying what Allah has commanded you to magnify. And that's why we celebrate Him. We do not declare His divinity. دَعْمَدَعْتُ النَّصَارَى فِي نَبِيِّهِمْ. Leave what Christians have said about their Prophet, who's our Prophet also, but Imam al-Busiri says, leave aside what they ascribe to Him, which means divinity. He was a man, he was a human being. And that's the Arian position, which was a large group of Christians in the early period. They believed he was a human being. The divination was declared orthodoxy in 325 years after the birth of Isa alayhi salam. This was a debate amongst Christians for 325 years, whether he was divine or not. We could have made the same mistake. And there are some Muslims that made that mistake about Sayyidina Ali. They never made it about the Prophet. Nobody has ever declared our Prophet divine. And that's one of the miracles of the Prophet, that there are people that declared Ali divine and that they didn't declare the Prophet divine. That is a miracle, and if you can't see that, you're a fool. That Allah has protected His Prophet from being associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the proof of it is that they associated Ali with Allah. And where is Ali in relation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? With all his greatness and all his stature, he's a drop in the ocean. And yet, there are people that actually claim divinity for him. But we didn't make that mistake with our Prophet. Why? Because لَمْ يَمْتَحِنَّا مَا لَمْ تَعْيَ عُقُولَنَا حِرْصًا عَلَيْنَا فَلَمْ نَرْتَبْ وَلَمْ نَهِمِ. He did not test our intellect with more than we could understand, out of a covetous desire for our guidance, so we neither wandered nor did we go astray. And that is why he said, لَا تَقْرُونِ كَمَا أَقْرَتَ النَّصَارَ عِيسَ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ. Do not claim for me what the Christians have claimed for Jesus. وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. But say, the servant of Allah and the messenger of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to say in the Quran, قُلْ أَنَا بَشْرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. I am a man like you. يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. There's the difference. So I'm like you, but I'm not like you. Because we don't have wahi. إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشْرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. إِنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. That you have one God. So he is not the same, and yet he's the same. And one of the scholars, he says, Muhammadun Basharun, la kal bashari, bal huwa kal yaquti bayna al hajari. The Prophet ﷺ is a human, but not like other humans. Like a ruby is a mineral, but not like other stones. So this is the gift that we've been given. We've been given the gift of understanding the messenger in relation to the one who sent him, which is one of the calamities of religion. When the messenger becomes exalted over the one sending, and this is the failure of the Buddhists, the failure of the Hindus, and ultimately the failure of the Christians in our understanding. So what we're doing when we reflect on these meanings, and I would say that I believe that the Mawlid, if you celebrate it one day out of the year, it's a bid'ah. And I would say that you shouldn't do that. The Mawlid should be celebrated every single day of your life until you die. Because if you're not happy that he was born, you're a kafir. And so we celebrate his birth every day of our lives. And we know that his own uncle was given respite in the hellfire, Abu Lahab, because he celebrated his birthday according to the Sahih Hadith. He freed a slave girl that came and gave him news of the birth of the Prophet ﷺ. And in the Sahih Hadith, he's given water in the hellfire because of that one act. So what do you say about a man who celebrates his birthday every day of his life? What's his reward? So we're here to celebrate, but not today, tomorrow and the next day and the day after, until the last breath that you take, you should be saying, Alhamdulillah, ala ni'mati Rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is because spring, we say hope springs eternal in English. Hope springs eternal. The nature of spring is it gives you hope. And he was born in spring. He was born in April, the most temperate month of the year we all yearn for. We look forward to April flowers. We look forward to these things. And more so, obviously, you're lucky to live in the greenery of England. England is a paradise. Really. England is, it's like an earthly paradise when you travel. It lacks the blue sky. But if you look around you and look at that green, and what does green do to us? It's the sun. Because it connects us with a very deep truth. Green in the spectrum of colors is between purple and red. It's exactly in the middle. If you look at the light spectrum of the six or seven according to Newton, the seven colors in the light spectrum, if you look at them, if you add them all together and then divide by two, you get the spectrum of green, because it is the middle color, and it's the color of our Prophet ﷺ, it's the color he loved most. He was born on Monday, because according to the ulama, it was the day that Allah created vegetation. Now there's something else about green. His dome was painted green out of a wisdom by the people of that time, because they were people of the internal. And they painted that dome green because it represents something. The secret of life in biology is called what? Photosynthesis. What is photosynthesis? There's two Greek words. Photo. Does anybody know what that means? It means light. And synthesis means to make. So photosynthesis is the making of light, or light making something. And what is being made is chlorophyll. And what is chlorophyll? It's green. So the secret of life is the ability to produce green. That's what life is. It's the ability to produce green. Why did Allah make the secret of life related to the color green? I mean, this is modern discoveries. This is not something they knew 1400 years ago. Why is green related to the secret of life? Because what Everything that you see in the outward world is in reality a metaphor for something else. إِنَّمَا الْكَوْنُ مَعَانٍ قَائِمَةٌ بِالصُّورِ كُلُّ مَنْ يُدْرِكُ هَذَا كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِبَرِ. Every form in the outward world is a meaning set up in an image. And those who discern this are from the people of intelligence. This whole world is meaning set up in images. So whenever you see some outward thing, you should know that it indicates something else. And that's why alam, which is the Arabic word for world, is the means by which you come to knowledge, ilm. What do we come to know? We come to know our Lord. And that is the secret of this whole universe. It is all indicating ala bi kulli shay'in ayatun tadullu ala annahu wahidun. Like the poet said, isn't it in every sign, in everything there is a sign indicating the truth of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the shahada. And we call this alam al-shahada, the world of witnessing, the whole witnessing and testifying to the truth. So what is it when light hits, vegetation, there is an extraordinary event that occurs in which it causes a process to happen, and the process will fill. And what happens is, this is what gets our nourishment. The even protein that we eat from animals, it's all coming. So even the meat that you eat is a result of this secret. Your whole body is a result of this secret. Every cell in your body can't exist without this reality. The same is true for the soul. There is something that when light is allowed into the soul, it produces something. And this is the light of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَدْ جَأَكُمْ نُورٌ. Light has come to you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a light. And anybody that denies that light and says that he did not have that light is a kafir. And the Sahaba said, we saw in his face that light. And that light is his secret. So this light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in his Prophet, and his Prophet in turn gave that light out, that light is what transforms your soul in the same way that, not in the same way, but in a similar way that the light of the sun transforms the earth and brings it to life. That light that the Messenger of Allah grants you, and he grants it because he is al-Qasim, he is the giver. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْمُعْطِي وَأَنَا الْقَاسِمُ. Allah is the giver, but I am the one that disperses what he gives. I am the one that disperses it. I am the one that has been given that authority to disperse this. And this is what is central to our teaching. And that centrality goes on as long as we go on. And people misunderstand this. But they're foolish. Because these are at the essence of what we've been given. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this light that it enters into the heart from praying on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, the Prophet, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ. I mean, think about that, reflect on that. Allah himself says that the Prophet is an object of his fi'l, his action. And his action is of his essence. And the Prophet ﷺ is an object of that, and it is a special object in the same that we also are an object of that. We are an object of that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he prays on us as well. But how does he pray on us? The Prophet ﷺ said, مَا صَلَّ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا صَلَّ عَلَيْهِ عَشْرًا. No one says a prayer on me except Allah says a prayer on him 10 times. And so, alhamdulillah, we do not associate our Lord with our Prophet.
We do not do that. We do not believe he is divine. We do not believe that he's uncreated. We don't, but the Prophet is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He came into existence from nothing. He came into existence, he was brought into existence. So we do not attribute to divinity. And we negate that, and we negate anyone that says that. But we recognize the centrality of his authority and his position.
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. It's by the permission of Allah.
قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you love Allah, follow me. You cannot love Allah according to our understanding without following a Prophet of God. And the Prophet of this age is our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we accept all of the Prophets that went before him, and we love them all. We love Jesus, we love Moses, we love Yahya, John, we love Elias, Isaiah, all of these Prophets. They're our Prophets and we love them. But we love our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our Prophet who specifically was sent to us. Wa huwa habibullah. He's the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I want to finish this by saying a few things. One, good intentions without guidance is of no benefit. You have to have guidance. And that's why when I was taught, وَالْعِلْمُ بِلَا عَمَلْ لَا يُنْجَرُ وَقِيلَ لَا وَلَا وَهُوَ الْأَشْهَرُ. Action without knowledge, there's no reward in it, there's no benefit in it. And some say that it harms, and certainly if it causes harm, it harms greatly. Because as you lose the love of the Prophet ﷺ, you lose the light of traditional Islam. You lose the light of this deen. Once you lose the love of this messenger, because how do I interpret that? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. I was only sent as a mercy to all the world. How do I attribute that to my Prophet ﷺ if I think I can go and kill a Jew because he's a Jew? If I think I can go blow up a synagogue in Morocco, and the Moroccan Jews are the last Jews left that really actually like the Muslims and have a high regard for the Muslims, because they're the last Jews that still know that it is, their existence is owed to Islam, because they fled from the persecution of Spain to the Christians, from the Christians to the Muslims. And that's why they're there. They're there because our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he was the protector of the Zindiyin. And he said that whoever betrays the trust of a Zindi, I am the advocate of that Jew or Christian or Magian or Buddhist or whoever they are on the Day of Judgment. He's not going to stand by the Muslim. He's going to stand by the Jew or the Christian. And you should think about that, because that's a sound tradition. Because our religion is not about tribalism. That's other traditions. Our religion is not about, I'm in the right tribe. No, if I'm on the right side. And if you're on the wrong side in any situation, you should know that your Prophet's not standing by you. Unless you repent. And that's what's happened. These people have lost sight of who our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. What right do you have to remove somebody's life from this world without just cause? What right do you have? And if you say this is what they do to us, they're not our teachers. Since when did they become our teachers? And if we don't stop this madness, we're going to end up like the Jews. We'll end up in the oven, because they'll just get fed up with us. Seriously. And don't think that that's not possible. The Prophet ﷺ said that تَتَّبِعُونَ سَنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرًا. You're going down the path of those before you. And in one hadith he said that تَتَّبِعُونَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. You're going to follow the Jews. شِبْرًا بِشِبْرًا حَبْوَ النَّعْمِ بِالنَّعْمِ. Even by the steps that they follow, that means, well, if you look at their persecution and what was done with them, don't be surprised if it happens to us. But we should be speaking out about this matter. This is not our religion, and we shouldn't allow people to speak on our behalf.
either with their words or their actions. And we need to condemn these things because they're wrong. I'm saying this because this is my understanding of Islam. And I don't find any other understanding. And I've read their arguments and I don't find them.
So you're here in this country, and Wales is not an enemy, it's never been an enemy of the Muslims. Never. You don't have a history. The Welsh are not an oppressive people. They don't have a history. They have a history of being oppressed. They don't have a history of oppression. And they're generally good people, and you'll lose their good faith if you're not careful. They've welcomed you into this society, for those of you all who are not from here, they've welcomed you into this society, and you, in a sense, even if they've given you sense, because this is not your native land, even if you were born here, this is the ancestral land of the Welsh people, and you've come here as guests, in the same way that the Arabs went to different places, essentially as guests. And the guest has to eat with proper courtesy and honor the host. And so I would really encourage you people to understand your roles as ambassadors. To really understand your roles as ambassadors of showing these people what the true faith of Islam is. The mercy of Islam. The generosity of Islam. The faithfulness of Islam. The honesty of this tradition. And the uprightness that it inculcates in the hearts of its followers and adherents. This is what you have to do, and if you don't do it, I'm telling you, things are getting bad, and they're going to continue to get bad. They've just passed a law in England, the Abu Hamza law, in which they can rescind citizenship from people that they deem undesirables. That's named after a Muslim who's become so heinous in their sight and obnoxious and vexing to them that they've passed a law to rescind citizenship from people like that. So we have to really think deeply and seriously. I'm saying this in nasiha, with sincere advice and counsel to myself and all of you. We have to think deeply. We have to be able to dialogue. I went into a mosque the other day and I was almost attacked physically, and I'm thinking, why aren't we human anymore? Why can't we just sit down? Why can't we just be human beings? Why can't we talk? Why have we descended to the level of dogs and vicious animals? Raising our voices and shouting at each other. We can't have a civil conversation. Our Prophet ﷺ said that a mu'min does not raise his voice over another mu'min, but he listens until he finishes what he has to say. I mean, that's how he describes the character of a believer. الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هُونَ They walk gently on the earth. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا And when Indian people speak to them, they say peace. And that's the description of the عِبَاد الرَّحْمَن. I don't find any descriptions in the Qur'an that say when they do this, and then they say أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَارِ Fierce with the kuffar. Belligerent people, if you're belligerent with me, yes, you should. Absolutely. Allah says if somebody's belligerent with, that's not somebody who's not a Muslim. That means a certain type of kafir. Because there's another verse that says, لَا يَنْهَاكُمْ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُكُمْ بِالدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ Allah does not prohibit you from being nice to people who do not abuse you, who do not persecute you for your religion or steal your land. From showing them birr, righteousness, sharing your wealth with them. And Allah loves people that do that. He says that His love is those who show non-Muslims kindness because they in turn have been kind to them. When the Christians of Najran came to the Prophet ﷺ, they came with humility. He let them pray in his mosque according to one riwayah. And these are the teachings that we have forgotten. Why have we forgotten them? Because we've forgotten Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We've forgotten وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, as a mercy to everyone, to everyone. Why? Because a Muslim, مَنْ سَلَمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ.
The Muslim, that's one level, because the munafiq is a Muslim.
The Muslim is the one who, Muslims are safe from his hand and his tongue. But what is a mu'min? Al-mu'minu man amina an-nas min bawa'iqihi. The mu'min is the one that humanity is safe from his evil. So if you want to be a mu'min, then you have to elevate your level of consciousness to a higher level. And if you do that, that's why people became Muslim. I mean, some people now, they think Islam is a hotel that they've reserved for themselves. And there's no more room. They put up a sign that says, sorry, no vacancies. And if you come, they just slam the door on your face because they think it's booked until the Yawm al-Qiyamah. So they don't even have to be nice thinking they might come back later when I do have a vacancy. I mean, we've got Muslims out there, that's their attitude. Kuffar, ya akhi, kuffar. Who gave you that authority to send people to hell? I mean, I thank God that these people aren't my judge, Yawm al-Qiyamah. Because that's what Allah said. If He put rahmah in your hands, you would have been misers. You wouldn't have shared it. But our Lord is not like that, and nor is our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma waffiq al-Islam wal-Muslimin. ووفق هذه الجماعة لإقامة الدين في هذه الديار, ووفق هذا المسجد والقائمين عليه. جزاكم الله خيرا, والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
For more lectures by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf and other traditional scholars, please contact Alhambra Productions toll free at 1-877-888-8273 and on the internet at www.alhambraproductions.com. For more information on traditional Islam in America, please contact Zaytuna Institute at 510-582-1979 and on the internet at www.